Welcome back to In Depth with Academia. I'm Richard Price, CEO of Academia.edu, and today we're diving into a fascinating and honestly quite innovative framework by Ruku Ayansson titled Te Putama Aura Framework Hinengaro Autophagy, Metabolizing Mental and Emotional Patterns. As always, I'm just your friendly host, guiding you through these ideas. I'm not endorsing the research or its conclusions, but rather presenting them so you can reflect and draw your own insights. So what's the big question in this paper? At its heart, it asks, how do we genuinely shift stubborn mental and emotional patterns that seem to just keep looping, no matter what coping strategies or interventions we try? And more deeply, why can't we just think our way out of patterns shaped by trauma, shame, or painful identity experiences? Why is it so hard for these patterns to release, and what would actually work to move them? This is significant for anyone, maybe you, wrestling with feelings or thoughts that just won't budge, even with lots of effort. Now, the Te Putama Aura framework, specifically this fourth stage called Hinengaro Autophagy, offers a bold reframe. It says, look, our mental and emotional distress is not a sign of failure or brokenness. Instead, these patterns are intelligent responses, adaptive reactions from our nervous system, our minds, actually doing their best to handle tough circumstances. That means your anxiety, your rumination, even emotional numbness, they started as clever protective moves, not just problems to fix. And that's kind of a relief, right? Let's talk about what Hinengaro Autophagy actually does differently. Instead of suppression, where we just try not to feel things, or catharsis, just letting our emotions explode repeatedly and hoping for relief, this framework focuses on metabolization. Think of it like composting. It's a process with steps where you name the emotion precisely, allow yourself to fully feel it, but within a clear boundary, express it creatively, extract its wisdom, and then, importantly, release it with gratitude. Each emotion, each thought loop is approached as, something that had a reason for existing, and the goal is to update that reason, not wage war on yourself. Again, I'm not saying this is gospel, just sharing Ruku Ayansson's view so you can, you know, ponder where it lands for you. Now here's something really interesting. The framework places mental and emotional work as the fourth stage after attending to relational wounds, spiritual distress, and identity struggles. Why? Because trying to tackle your anxious thoughts or emotional cycles without having first cleared the stuff upstream, like deep relational pain or spiritual wounds, would just be running in circles. There's this idea that our minds and feelings are downstream from our relationships, beliefs, and sense of self. So until those have shifted, thought patterns just keep looping. It's almost like trying to mop up water without turning off the tap. Random little metaphor there, but you get my drift. A quick digression. Sometimes I think about how many self-help books promise that simply changing your thoughts will transform your life. You know, just think positive or challenge your negative beliefs. But how well does that really work when you're carrying decades of unresolved grief or battling a persistent sense of not belonging? Maybe there's a missing piece, and perhaps, just maybe, this model offers a new angle. I don't know. It's just an interesting comparison. Back to the science. Hinengaro autophagy pulls from neuroplasticity, the brain's ability to grow new pathways through repeated practice. So when you're not just suppressing or venting emotions, but truly metabolizing, naming, expressing, learning, updating, your brain forms new, healthier patterns. But here's the catch. This shift is only sustainable if the conditions that created the old patterns have changed first. Otherwise, you're just putting a fresh coat of paint on an unsteady wall, and again, just reminding you, I'm presenting this neutrally, not saying it's the only way. Another key point for you, the listener. This whole model encourages you to see your mental and emotional struggles as meaningful responses, not flaws. The patterns show what you've been through and how you've coped. They can be transformed, not erased, into healthy boundaries, clearer discernment, or genuine self-protection instead of rigid defenses in your own life. That means, well, recognizing the intelligence in so-called bad feeling might actually help you begin changing them with compassion instead of shame. The process is less about fixing and more about updating, kind of like upgrading your phone's software so it can run better in today's environment if emotions had operating systems, which they clearly don't. But okay, moving on. As we wrap up, just a reminder, this framework is not a replacement for mental health treatment where that's needed, and not every tool works for every person. But it's intriguing food for thought, opening up new ways to see and metabolize our struggles and to possibly break free from old loops. Thanks for spending some time with me today on In Depth with Academia. I hope these ideas spark some gentle curiosity or self-reflection for you wherever you are. Remember, research is a journey, not a destination, and there's no one-size-fits-all answer. Catch you next time and take care.